But as we come to think about these readings, about our theme this morning, let's pray. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, as I've said this morning, we're looking at one of our church values, loving each other. And actually, we're coming towards the end of it. This is the last one we're going to be, last service we're going to be looking at this theme. We've got a new theme next week. And to bring it together, as I've said, our last subject this morning is talking to each other and not about each other. And in many ways, this is linked very closely with what David was talking about last week, about listening. If you didn't manage to catch that, it's still on the YouTube channel, still on the Facebook page. You can go and see what David said last week. Of course, listening and talking are the two major parts of any communication, any verbal communication. Right now, I'm talking, and you, I hope, are listening. And so, last week, David helped us to explore what it means to listen carefully. And this week, we're thinking about speaking carefully. Both, I think, are important, and both help us to grow and show love for each other, listening carefully and speaking carefully. And in our reading from Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus, we're listening to a small section of a whole load of teaching that Jesus is giving to his disciples quite early on in his ministry. We're only in Matthew 5, we're only in the fifth chapter. And if you take out the Christmas story, we're in the second chapter of actually Jesus doing and teaching stuff. So this is early in his ministry. And as Jesus is talking about how we are to live as his followers, and in a whole range of different areas of life, he's raising the bar from the Old Testament law. Again and again, he says through this chapter, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." You have heard it said, but I say to you. And in the section we're looking at today, he's talking about anger and about the way we speak about and to each other and the way in which we relate to each other. And he starts off with, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And in these first couple of verses, Jesus tells us that it's not enough to resist the temptation to bump each other off. But we're actually warned about being angry with each other, about calling our brother or sister fool or empty head or worthless. That's what raka means. This is a warning about how we speak about each other. You see, when we're negative about someone else, when they're not around, if we say, that fool, that so-and-so is a right fool, we damage their reputation. We make people think less of them. We cause them harm. It's a warning about how we speak about each other, but I think it's also a warning about how we speak to each other. When we run people down to their face, we hurt them. We label them. We write graffiti on their hearts that can take an age to scrub off. These are real warnings about things that really do hurt people. But it seems to me we do have to be a little bit careful here, because you see, it's clear from other places in the Gospels that Jesus got angry. And he said things like, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you?" So if Jesus, who was sinless, obviously had feelings of anger and expressed himself pretty directly, it can't be that anger itself is sinful, or that we should never have direct or perhaps even difficult conversations. So how do we understand this? Well, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul writes this, and he quotes Psalm 4. "In your anger, do not sin." And he goes on to say, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." So holding these things together, it seems to me that what we're to do is to be really careful when we're angry and to bring that anger to God for scrutiny. You see, Jesus doesn't say, "Don't be angry," but he does talk about being subject to judgment, about being accountable to the Sanhedrin, the council of elders, the religious community. It does talk about being in the danger of hell. So it seems to me that if we're to avoid those judgments and consequences of our anger leading us into sin, then before we act on our anger, then we need to bring it to God for scrutiny. We can ask the Holy Spirit to show us the roots of our anger. Are those roots in our own wounded pride, in fear or anxiety, in self-regard or defensiveness? Or are they in something more holy? You see, it's only when we've submitted our anger to God's scrutiny and discipline that we should even consider acting or speaking out of it. And when we do feel that it's right to challenge someone, or we should do that then by talking to them with humility and gentleness, and with at least as much listening as talking. It seems to me, though, for us to be able to do this as a community, we also have to think about something else difficult. We have to think about how we receive it when somebody comes to us and raises an issue. So, last year, some of us were at the New Wine Summer Festival, and it's fair to say there were some organisational issues. You see, New Wine for many years had been held at Shepton Mallet at the Royal Brathen West showground there, and last year they'd moved to a new venue just outside Peterborough. And there were problems with this. The access to the site was difficult because of supplier problems. They hadn't had enough portaloos or showers delivered. There weren't enough food vans in the food court. And to make everything worse, it was pouring with rain and everybody was soaked through. And not surprisingly, folk were getting a bit ticked off. And I was talking with someone who knew the senior leadership of the New Wine team. And he was saying how impressed he was that they were engaging with these issues with what he called undefended hearts. And that's to say that they were listening. They were open to the criticism, and they were engaging positively. They weren't getting defensive or trying to deflect or blaming other people. And it's not to say that they were being doormats or automatically agreeing with everything that anybody said to them. But they were being open to hear people. And it encouraged me when I was having that conversation to think about how I deal with it when people are upset with me, with the things I've done, when people are angry with me. I ask myself, am I able to listen carefully, to understand where people are coming from without putting up the barriers? Am I secure in my identity in Jesus as a child of God? Do I believe God when he says who I am? Do I know that if I have to say sorry, or climb down, or humble myself, actually, that's okay, because I trust that God loves me and forgives me. My identity, my security isn't in my defences or me being right all the time. And it seems to me that this is what Jesus, one of the things that Jesus is getting at when we, in the next bit of Matthew that we read. Let's read it again carefully. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, not that you have something against your brother or sister, but that your brother or sister has something against you, then go and be reconciled. I wonder, can you imagine the situation? Something's happened in the week. Maybe a careless word or a failure to keep a commitment. And the person hurt has got in touch and shared that hurt. Defensive mode engaged. It wasn't my fault, really. I didn't mean it. They shouldn't be so touchy. Maybe even the infamous non-apology has been used. I'm sorry if. It's Sunday morning. And it's time for church, to come to worship, and you remember the conversation. Jesus says it's up to you to go and do the work of reconciliation with that person before you come to worship. As the writer to the Hebrews put it, make every effort to live at peace with everyone. You see, this is not to say or to pretend that there should never be disagreements or conflict amongst us in church. We're all different, we come from different backgrounds, have different perspectives. And I don't actually believe that God's music is one of unison voices all playing the same instrument, but one of complex harmonies played upon a variety of instruments. And sometimes there's a bit of dissonance. And actually, I think that's fine. But what is important is that we are all watching the conductor and listening to each other so that we play in concert, not in competition. If we are to create and to continue building a culture where we value loving each other enough to have honest conversations, where we can safely talk to each other rather than about each other, then it seems to me that we need three things: open ears, controlled tongues, and undefended hearts. Open ears, controlled tongues, and undefended hearts. That's easy to say, but difficult to do. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to work in us, to work in each one of us, and to work in us as a church community, so that we can talk to each other and not about each other. Amen.